The Heat had a chance to take advantage of the home court for Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and while they hung on to a slim lead at halftime, eventually Boston's shooting picked up while Miami struggled offensively as the Celtics blew things open to steal Game 5 and take control of the series. What happened to Miami's shooting? Can a lineup change save Miami's season? We break it all down on today's edition of Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. It's a Thursday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily podcast covering all things Miami Heat. However you may be listening or watching on YouTube, on Odyssey, or on your favorite podcast app, thanks so much for making us your first listen every day. I'm David Ramil, and with me, as always, is my co-host Wes Goldberg. The third quarter has been a matter of feast or famine for Miami in the series versus the Boston Celtics, and unfortunately, Miami was starving to score, going 6 minutes with just one made field goal. Boston's lead with just 1 point midway through the quarter, but they would close out the third on a 17-7 run to go up 11, and the fourth started even worse with a Boston 14-2 run to build their largest lead of the night. And while the Heat cut the lead down to 13, they were never really a threat to win the game. And Boston takes control of the Eastern Conference Finals with Game 6 back on their home floor on Friday, a 93-80 loss for the Miami Heat. So aside from the 31-9 run, here's a quick rundown of some other numbers that really stand out before digging into our takeaways from the game. Miami shot just 31%, not from three, but from the field the entire game. Miami's starting point guard combo of Kyle Lowry and Max Strus finished with just 4 total points, all from Max on free throws in the third quarter, and shot an abysmal combined 0-15. Victor Oladipo followed his 23-point outing in Game 4 with a dud, just 3 points on 1-of-7 shooting. And Jimmy Butler, after putting up historic numbers throughout the first two playoff series, struggled with obvious injury to shoot 4-of-18 from the floor. Oh, and the Heat shot just 15% from 3 after leading the NBA in that statistic during the regular season. So, Wes, a lot to get into, but what were your takeaways from tonight's loss?
Just that Jimmy has nothing left. And you kind of see the wheels, like he's the driver of this car, and you're starting to see the wheels just fall off. I mean, it's very clear that Jimmy Butler just is being so bothered by this knee that he just doesn't look like the heroic Jimmy Butler that carried the Heat even to this point. And they have needed that version of Jimmy Butler to even get this far, David, because the shooting numbers that you're talking about, this has been the case for the Heat the entire playoffs. They're shooting basically 32% from distance in these playoffs. Three-point shooting has not been a strength of theirs in the postseason, but defense has, forcing turnovers has, and more importantly, Jimmy Butler has. But when Jimmy Butler is not that strength, then you start to see all these other flaws start to crop up and really impact their chances of winning. And this is why they've lost these games against Boston. You get this far against a really good team like the Celtics, and you just can't afford that stuff anymore. You just can't. You mentioned all those numbers too. Here's another one. The Heat had 94 field goal attempts tonight. Boston had 71. Yep. How do you lose having taken 23 more shots than the opponent? That is incredible how a team can lose that. And the answer is you shoot 31% and your opponent shoots 47%. That's your answer. That's what happens. And that's what happened tonight. If this is the version that Jimmy Butler is going to be, then the Heat need guys to step up around him in a huge way. In a huge way. Spoelstra after the game talking about how ignitable his three-point shooters are. Well, they haven't been, okay? No. They have not been ignitable all postseason long.
And this is a combination of things. I know a lot of listeners won't want to hear it. I know a lot of people are going to want to obsess on Jimmy's obvious struggles. Boston's defense is pretty good. Moreover, even when they weren't challenging Miami's shots directly, they were forcing them, just as we said in after Game 4, they were forcing them to tough shots that they don't want to make. Having said that, a lot of those shots were makeable. Wide open shots from the perimeter, shots at the rim. Jimmy missed a few layups that he normally makes that would have translated into and one opportunities. He's not getting the free throw calls. After the game, Eric Spoelstra making no excuses about Jimmy's injury. He was asked about that by ESPN reporter Nick Friedell, and he wanted to just downplay that completely. But it's pretty obvious. Like, this is not the version of Jimmy that we've seen. Like, he's just not able to follow through contact. He's not able to just bowl through them. And you have to give credit to Boston's defense as well. It's a really tough loss. I did not think they were going to be exposed this completely, but that's kind of what it looks like. Without Jimmy there as their driving force, they don't really have anybody else to pick up the slack. Kyle Lowry, clearly Miami's best other option aside from Bam Adebayo, who was solid in his gameplay, but not great, not sensational, just solid. Kyle Lowry obviously struggling with injury as well. Max Strus went into the locker room at one point during the game, came back out. He's dealing with injury. Nobody's 100%. But you know what? Jason Tatum was struggling with injury early on. He still wound up getting it going too. Marcus Smart obviously returning back from injury. Robert Williams dealing with knee injury. Nobody's at 100% on either side of the ball. So obviously not an excuse, but very much an explanation for a big part of why Jimmy and everybody else is struggling.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the free throws there too. It's not like Jimmy Butler wasn't getting the whistle either because of his physical limitations right now. It's not that he's not finishing through contact because he's not trying to finish through contact. So many of his layups, you could just sort of see him jump to the side of the rim, side of the glass, and try to lay it up that way. Like, he's not playing to get contact, and it's hard to blame him if this knee is really this much of an issue, then he would rather be out there than try to get contact and maybe get injured and not be available whatsoever. I don't know the degrees of this injury, but, Joel Embiid tweets in the middle of the game, the Heat need another star, right? And this is why. This is why you need another star, is because when one of your players, when your star, Jimmy Butler in this case, is limited, teams with multiple stars can have that other star pick up the slack, right? But the Heat don't really have that guy. Kyle Lowry's just not that at this point in his career. It's supposed to, it is a little bit of a dig at Bam, but it really, again, I'll say this, Bam Adebayo is really good at his job, okay? I know a lot of Heat fans want him to be this star, this 30-point-per-game scorer. And by the way, I think at some point he needs to be that if the Heat are going to win a championship. They probably need him to be that. But I was here at FTX Arena, and where I was seated was at the top of the lower bowl, David, where our media seats were. And I have never seen a crowd, heard a crowd, try to egg on a player to just shoot the ball more. It was crazy. I've never seen anything like it. Bam gets the ball, they were just saying, shoot the ball. Well, it kind of speaks to the expectations that the fan base has of him, right? But he's just not that guy right now. And maybe you could put some blame on him, but he was also the team's leading scorer tonight. So there's a lot of blame to go around. I know we'll get to that later. Again, one more point on Jimmy Butler, though. His whole role for this team is basically to play the other team's star to a draw. And that wasn't the case tonight. Tatum, 22 points on 20 shots. It wasn't Tatum's best game. Still outplayed Jimmy Butler. But the Heat shot 32% on mid-range looks, while the Celtics shot 61% on their mid-range. That's an insanely low number for a Miami Heat team and an insanely high number for the Celtics team. And that basically boils down to Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum, by the way. Obviously, other guys took mid-range shots. Like, Jaylen Brown was really good from the mid-range tonight as well. But, that's Butler's zone. That's Tatum's zone. Tatum outplayed Jimmy Butler completely in this game. This is not a team. Their whole story this year has been role players stepping up. Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, Max Strus. And by the way, Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, really good minutes for Miami tonight. Yeah, really good minutes for both of those guys tonight. But there is a ceiling to what those guys can do, right? There is a ceiling to what those role players can do. And at the end of the day, they were undrafted. And they are undrafted for a reason. And that's because they don't have the talent level that stars have. A Tatum, a Jaylen Brown, even a Grant Williams who was taken in the first round. They just don't have that ceiling that those guys have. And when Jimmy Butler is limited in this way and Kyle Lowry is ineffective for whatever reason, you start to see that ceiling show itself, right? And Gabe Vincent and Caleb Martin could have had the game of their life tonight. They weren't going to win the game for the Heat tonight. It's just that's not what they can do. The story has been their role players, but at some point there's a limit to how far role players can take you.
And we should point out also the league's best role player, Tyler Herro, the sixth man of the year, not available for his second straight game. He did not play at all. You wonder how much he could have produced when you're talking about those open mid-range shots. Those have been his strong suit. Of course, he's also able to knock down three-point shots. But that was during the regular season. We haven't really seen a stronger version of Tyler Herro during the playoffs, and you wonder whether or not Boston would have been as accommodating and allowed him to take those kind of wide-open shots as well. Who knows? It's a question for the ages. They can look back and say, what if Tyler had been there in games 4 and 5? Well, you know what? He wasn't. And it doesn't really matter. Both losses now. Miami has their work cut out for them as they go back to Boston on Friday with a chance to try and save their season. We'll talk about whether or not they can do it. We'll lay some blame pie as well. Anything else that you want to give talk about this segment?
Yeah, just one more point on like the injury stuff and Jimmy Butler. Like, this is injuries are playing a very major role in this series. I think if Jimmy Butler were healthy, even not having Tyler Hero, I think if Jimmy Butler were healthy, the Heat would still have had a chance in this series. I 100% believe that. Jimmy Butler has been that good in these playoffs. And when he is playing at his best, the ripple effect of the rest of the guys on this team is massive. If Bam Adebayo has 18 points and 10 rebounds on a night where Jimmy Butler has 28 points, Bam Adebayo looks much better. You know what I mean? Yeah. As opposed to tonight when Jimmy Butler is so limited. But all of these injuries and then the poor three-point shooting that just has not been there in the postseason, the best three-point shooting team in the league, the worst three-point shooting team in the playoffs, this has sort of left Eric Spoelstra having to cobble together lineups and just try to figure things out on the fly, right? While the Celtics are very much secure in their identity, they know what their game is. Yeah. And they've now pulled away in that third quarter because of that, and they've now, I think, pulled away in this series. Obviously, they're up 3-2. You know, the Celtics outscoring the Heat 32-16 in that third. That was very much basically Miami exhausting all options while Eric Spoelstra is just trying to figure out anything, putting game plans together literally on the fly here, doing his best. That's not a knock on Spo. He's dealing with what is in front of him. But the Celtics are relatively healthy, certainly more healthy than Miami. And a credit to them, they have a really strong identity. They're basically playing 7.5 guys. Yeah. You know, they like Peyton Pritchard got some token minutes in the first half, but they basically play 7 dudes. They know exactly what their rotations are. They know what their game plan is going to be. They don't veer far from their game plan. Even when other guys maybe make a shot, they say, you know what, we're going to still put Robert Williams in the paint. And we're going to just let PJ and Strus and Gabe and Caleb just shoot as many threes as you want because we're not worried about you beating us. The Celtics are secure in their game plan. The Heat don't really know what they're doing. You know, Spo after the game saying, I got to go watch the film. And it's like, you know what? I don't even know that the Celtics have to watch any film going into the next game because they know what they're doing so well, while the Heat are just literally trying to figure anything out that works.
I will urge our audience, don't. I've seen a lot of complaints about Miami's overall effort and things of that sort. And I want to put the kibosh on that because I don't think, and maybe you could speak to it a little bit better having been at FTX Arena, but it's not like they weren't trying or that they were, they weren't giving maximum effort or anything like that. They're limited at this point. They're limited by their own ability. They're limited by their own health. And they're limited by a good Celtics team that deserves credit for it. They absolutely played a factor. And you can't dismiss what they did. You can't just say, oh, they won the free throw disparity or anything like that. I mean, that's true. Celtics did have an obvious advantage at the line. Well, a big part of that is Miami being a step slower on defense because of those injuries, because of Boston's talent and their go-to scorers. You know, a guy like Jason Tatum, who was a first-team All-NBA for a reason. Jimmy Butler didn't make either team as an All-NBA selection. Neither did Bam, of course, having missed as much time as he did. Miami, the better team perhaps throughout the regular season in terms of just gritting it out, finding ways to win, having your role players step up. But when it comes down to the playoffs, you need your stars to step up. And right now, Miami's stars are either limited or hurt or both. And so that's not a good combination. But we'll talk a little bit about which other players or what other things in general might deserve some blame for this loss before breaking down whether or not they have a chance of stealing Game 6 in Boston. Before we do that, just a reminder that this episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. With an ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's so tricky to go into your local chain auto parts store and find the parts you're looking for, whether it's an EX or an LX. You never really know, and they keep asking you questions. You get uncomfortable and nervous. Why go through all that? You go to RockAuto.com, enter your car, your make and model, and you'll find all the parts you're looking for with their easy-to-navigate website. Just a few clicks, you get it delivered directly to your door. I mentioned this before. I did it for my wife's car. Saved me time, saved me hundreds of dollars, and felt great doing so. You can do so as well if you go to RockAuto.com, a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Find all the parts you're looking for your car or truck, and then go to the section that says, "How'd you hear about us?" and write the phrase "Locked On" so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com.
All right, thank you so much for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Make sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board. After this, host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and the author of the NBA Big Board newsletter gives fans an in-depth look into the NBA Draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, Big Boards. It's free. It's available wherever you get your podcast. David, it's losing time here on Locked On Heat. time to get into the kitchen, whip up some blame pie. And I want to start here. I want to start in the backcourt for Miami, okay?
All right.
Strus and Lowry combined 1 for 28 in the past two games. They're 0 for 15 tonight, okay? That was the worst 0 for something backcourt or something by starting backcourt in a playoff game since the NBA started recording that kind of stat in 1970. That's for per ESPN.
1970.
So basically when they started tracking, it's probably before that too. That's just when they started tracking it, okay? So I know we talked about the injuries at the top of the show and how it clearly has limited this Heat team and probably drained them of any chance of winning this series if Jimmy Butler can't miraculously find a new knee by the time Game 6 rolls around. But there is still some blame to lay at the feet of Kyle Lowry and Max Strus because you're a starter now, man. Like, we could talk about the great story and everything, but you're a starter in the playoffs, dude. You can't go, what was he tonight? 0 for 9, 0 for 7 from three-point range. Wasn't he 0 for 7 the last game as well from distance? So, these are open looks, okay? The Celtics are giving them to him, all right? They're coming around screens. They're coming around screens hard. They're not giving them to him the same way that they're giving it to PJ and Caleb Martin and even Gabe Vincent, who they're just like,
but there were several plays there.
Let him shoot threes.
There were several plays there. Look, Miami, I will say, Miami gave great effort, particularly in the first half, where they were trying to maximize what they could do, which was control the rebounding edge. And I was ready to come up with it. They had managed to steal a win and have you eat crow about rebounding.
I have never seen somebody chase offensive rebounds the way that PJ did. I'm sorry to interrupt, but like that was insane. What he did all game.
And it's unfortunate because Max would take a three-pointer. PJ would scramble and fight and tooth and nail to grab the offensive rebound, kick it back out. He'd reset and lay down another clunker there. Like, it was just multiple possessions where Max was trying to shoot or Kyle would try and shoot to no avail. A few of those shots missing the hoop completely. Victor Oladipo, same thing in the third quarter when Boston was pulling away. Rebound by Tucker after a wide-open Oladipo three clanked off. Actually, I'm sorry, not even clanked off the rim. Missed everything. They pull down the rebound, kick it back out. He shoots it again. The exact same thing. Like, he was long on both attempts. And you're going, what the hell? What's going on? Like, this is so atypical, especially after you see him shooting so well in the last game. You expect him to have a similar game tonight.
So streaky, man. Like, that's the genius of what the Celtics are doing is they are just letting – they're not overreacting to any make. They're not. They're just letting Miami – they're letting the guys that Miami wants to let shoot, and they're not overreacting to that stuff. They know that Caleb Martin isn't going to make eight threes, okay? Right. He's just not. But they're closing out well on Max. They're closing out well on Kyle. They're fighting around screens. They're tight on their on fighting over them. They're not going under them. Like, their game plan is good, and they're executing well. But that's not to say that Max and Kyle Lowry still didn't get open looks. Like, Bam Adebayo or PJ will land a brick wall screen, and they'll get an open look off the dribble. They got to make those. Duncan Robinson made three of his first eight three-pointers tonight, okay? He was there, and he was getting first-half minutes over Dwayne Dedman, who did not play tonight, okay? So, I actually thought, like, you know, we're talking about the offensive rebounds. That was a big part of Miami's game plan. Got to out-rebound Boston, okay?
Right.
The other part was getting them to turn the ball over. They did that. 15 turnovers for Boston for 17 Miami points. They did that. They executed the core tenets of the game plan.
Yep.
And they got good looks.
Yep.
They just didn't make them. And you just need your dudes to make the shots. It's not rocket science. You need your good players to make the open shots that they get. They didn't do that. The Celtics did do that for the most part. So there's a lot of the blame pie there. It's on Strus and it's on Lowry, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Those guys were really bad, and they've been bad for two games, and the Heat have lost those two games, period, end of story. Jimmy's knee, obviously he gets some blame. You mentioned the effort earlier, and I'm mostly with you on the effort thing. I think effort is the wrong word, okay? I don't think that the effort was off by Miami. I do think that the decisiveness that they needed to have was not there. And I think that might be what most fans are trying to express when they use the word effort. It's decisiveness. It's put your head down and go to the basket. It's Bam Adebayo, put your head down and go to the basket. I know I just talked about how he's not that guy.
I thought he was aggressive early on, but in the second, he kind of got away from that a little bit.
But it wasn't just him either. It was a lot of these guys. Like, it was Jimmy Butler too. And I know that he's limited by the injury, but like this, like,
he was a half step slower.
He was, but he was, and he was just, but he was really indecisive. Like, all right, if you're gonna be half step slower, just be decisive in your slow steps. Like, tell me, like, let me know what you're gonna do here. Right. And just a lot of guys, Kyle Lowry, very similar. Like, they were just sort of, they would like kind of soft poke at Boston's defense. That thing's not really there. And look, there's, they've been trying to figure out where this, the pressure points in Boston's defense have been all series long. They take Peyton Pritchard basically out of the rotation for the most part outside of 6 minutes. They're playing Derek White and Grant Williams, two really good defenders off the bench. There's not a bad defender in Boston's lineup, so that's definitely part of it. But I still think that if you just go, if you play quickly and with pace, and like I haven't seen the Kyle Lowry hit-aheads. I haven't really seen the decisiveness that Miami needs to have to force the Celtics defense to scramble. I think that's what fans really mean when they talk about effort. I think what they mean is decisiveness. And that, I thought, was really missing. Outside of, I think Bam got there eventually. It took him a minute. But the other guys, just, I didn't really see it from them. Maybe it's injuries. I don't know. But whatever the reason it wasn't there. It wasn't
there. It's starting to sound like Eric Spoelstra talking about intention and purpose. Maybe that's another way of phrasing the decisiveness that you're talking about. But it's certainly a strong point. I mean, I can't refute it because there were moments there where, you know, Jimmy in particular, like, wasn't quite sure what to do with the ball. This is a very different version of the Jimmy that we saw against the 76ers, where we were just saying, give me the ball within a nanosecond. He was already attacking the basket, going into a Sixers defender, attacking Joel Embiid, going at whoever was in front of him, multiple defenders, to get to his accomplished goal, which was making it to the rim or drawing a free throw. He's not getting to the line. He's not getting to the rim. He's not hitting his shots. There's a lot going on there. And yes, a big part of it surely is injury, but some of that decisiveness, intention, purpose, whatever, is certainly missing as well.
Anybody and I else? Will put some I'm going to put some blame on Bam. You know, I know I just spent like a long time kind of defending him, but 15 shots is not enough, okay? Especially when Jimmy Butler, as limited as he was, he took 18 shots, all right? Bam played 38 minutes tonight. That's about as much as you can pretty much, you know, maybe you could have played 40, whatever.
Jimmy
but 15 shots in 38 – 15 shot, Jimmy played 40. 15 shots in 38 minutes isn't enough. Bam, they needed more from him. And you could tell, like, Jimmy Butler, there was a possession in the first half where Bam Adebayo has it was Jaylen Brown on him in the post. And Jimmy recognized it. He was out above the break. He sees Bam with Jaylen Brown on him. He calls him onto his side of the court into the low post. Just waves him on. He's like, "You got Jaylen on you. Come over here." And so Bam comes over. He gets the pass. He has the entry pass into Bam on the post. And Bam, two dribbles, turned onto his turnover from his pivot foot into the middle of the paint, hits his little floater right at the rim. And I'm just like, "Wow, okay." And that's Jimmy Butler recognizing, "Hey, Bam, you got the mismatch, man. Be aggressive. Call for this ball. Get into position in deep post position."
He did do it.
And
that
I'll
one
get
play,
you the ball, man.
That one play against Derek White too, where he led the fast break.
He did have that.
And they called for the ball.
That
back.
Was great.
Yeah, it was. And something, unfortunately, we haven't seen enough of in this series.
Right. Maybe that's the maddening part, is that you see the flashes of it, and then he just doesn't do it. So I am going to put some blame on Bam here. Like, this should have been a minimum 20-shot game for Bam Adebayo. He finished 8-for-15. He shot 53%. He had it. You know, but you wanted to see more from him. You did.
Absolutely. That's pretty much it. I can't really.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody else to really blame as far as that. I mean, it's just been a combination of different things, and again, health continues to weigh on everything. I hate to keep pointing to it, but it's obvious that this team does not look great. Does not look 100%. And yet, part of me still believes that they have a chance. With the return of Tyler, if Jimmy can get even close to back to the version of him that we saw, we'll debate that in the next segment. But before we do that, I just wanted to tell you about Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill today to take control of your subscriptions. It's a new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forget about. It happens to everybody. You sign up for something, you go, "Oh, I'll get the free trial." Next thing you know, you're getting charged $15 a month, and you go, "Hey, where's that money going?" Well, it's going to something you don't even want. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Companies make subscriptions hard to cancel. Again, Truebill makes it just incredibly simple, because you just link your accounts, and Truebill will cancel all your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. and your and your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't even have to. Truebill has over 2 million users, and it's helped save them over $100 million. You could be next. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now to Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Just a reminder, you can always reach us via email at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskHelloHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. We're not sure how much longer our season will last, but we'll continue to provide coverage of the rest of the season and throughout all of the offseason as well. So make sure to subscribe to get that coverage if that's something you're looking for, which I assume that you are if you're watching today's show. In any case, let's ask the big question, which I know a lot of people are wondering about, and I guess that's whether or not Miami has a chance at a Game 6 win and extending the series. Again, what I said before the break, and I'll stick with that, I think they do. I think if Tyler can come back, and that's a big if, we're starting to hear some rumblings that this groin injury is something that might normally last weeks to recover from. At this point, he's had 4 days of rest. Not nearly enough. It's going to be severe. We're also hearing the possibility of Jimmy Butler having off-season surgery, at least that's been reported. If that's the case, clearly he's not going to ever get close to 100%. You're basically just staving off elimination, whether it's now in Game 6 or Game 7, or even if you're able to advance to the NBA Finals at some point. He's going to be limited. He's going to be hindered. But can he play a little bit better? He will say yes. He did say yes in the post-game presser. He's been willing to take blame for his bad outings and knows that he can do better. At least that's his belief. As far as Kyle Lowry, similarly, at his age, still dealing with a hamstring injury that limited throughout the Sixers series, and has been a big problem with him. I think he can't play better. Like, look, the three-point shots, maybe they'll fall. You combine the effort, the rebounding, the occasional gritty play from some player, you know, Caleb Martin stepping up, Gabe Vincent stepping up, etc. And you look at that and you say, if you can get a slightly better performance from Jimmy, if you can get Tyler with a 20-point outing off the bench, if Oladipo has one of his good nights where that shot is falling, then it all works out. It's a lot of variables there. And again, that's not discounting the fact that there's home court advantage for Boston, that they're looking to close out the series so they can get a little rest before taking on probably the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals, etc. That's a lot to contend with. Am I crazy? Do you agree? Do you think there's any chance of Miami being able to steal Game 6?
David, I really appreciate your optimism. I do. It's a great quality that you have.
You're done.
Pack it up. This is over. This is over.
Wow. You don't have the guts. I'm disappointed.
I don't have the guts. Jimmy doesn't have a knee, and Tyler Hero's got a groin issue, all right? Like, this is where we're at, man.
Everybody's missing something. Yeah, I know.
Look, Tyler Hero's not coming back in the series. It's not happening, all right?
Really?
It's not happening. Jimmy Butler is not miracle. Like, the turnarounds between these games are just insane. Tomorrow is a travel day, and then they have to play the next day.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler, there's not enough time for Jimmy Butler to get. And by the way, that's not some vast conspiracy by the NBA. It's just what it is, okay? It's just what it is. It's over. I don't think that the Heat win in Boston. I think the Celtics know exactly how they want to attack this Heat team. The Heat have no idea how they want to attack the Celtics while their dudes are injured. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see a way where this Heat team that has been now blown out 2 times in a row by Boston wins this game. The Celtics are healthier. They are better because of it. The Heat are limping. They are on their last legs, literally. All right? And this is it. This is it. Start punching the ticket for the Celtics and the Warriors in the finals because that's what it's going to be.
All right, well, let's, aside from our own opinion on the matter, and I mean, look, it's hard to refute because, well, you know, these are our opinions.
I hope I'm wrong. I wish I was as optimistic as you are.
Is there anything tangible that Eric Spoelstra could do? You kind of alluded to it before that he's just sort of tinkering with lineups at this point. I don't think there is. Like, maybe Duncan starting in place of Max is an option, but
I'm glad you brought that up because I thought that would have been like the curveball that Spo could have gone into going into I was talking to somebody before the game and I mentioned that. I was like, wouldn't it be a curveball if he just started Duncan? And I do think that the Celtics would have reacted in a way. I think they would have been like, now we really have to watch this like Bam, Duncan, DHO thing. If he does it in game 6, all right, like, cool. I think it probably would have been a game too late, if I'm being honest. I think now would have been the time to do it. I think you lose the sort of the shock value after Max is over 7 and Duncan is 3 for 10 after making 3 of his first 8 from 3-point range. I liked what Spo did going small, taking Dedmon off the floor, going with PJ at the 5 groupings when Bam was off the court. I really liked the idea of doing that and putting Jimmy in space because Jimmy Butler was playing in those PJ at the 5 lineups. But when Jimmy Butler is obviously limited, it's not quite as impactful. It's not quite as effective. But those were all the levers that Spo could pull. You know, you took Dedmon off the court. Maybe the next one you do is, all right, Oladipo, sorry. You just don't have a role in this series anymore. I don't think that he's been very good all series. I know that he's had some scoring outputs, but it's been a lot of empty calories, if you ask me. And so maybe it's just Gabe, Duncan, or Max, if Duncan doesn't start, and Caleb off the bench, and that's it. So I think you could shorten the rotation even further. Maybe you do Duncan Robinson in the starting lineup just for fun.
Do you bench Kyle Lowry? And I know
a lot of people are clamoring for him. Nope, can't do it.
I know a lot of people are doing it. I'm going to present both cases here. In Gabe's case, he's providing the spark plug. His defense has been really solid. He's tying. He's giving incredible effort. He's a better defender than Kyle Lowry is at this point. I think that's pretty clear. For nothing else,
I don't know if I agree with that. But
you don't think he's a better defender right now? In tonight's game, let's just say tonight's game, and at this point in the playoffs.
I didn't think Gabe was awesome defensively tonight.
Okay. Better than
Lowry. I thought
he
worked hard, but I think... Okay. No, I mean, he's still a miss.
Maybe
like
that's
Tatum
it. Maybe
Brown
that's it. Maybe
I
maybe I'm falling.
Over and over
maybe
again.
I'm falling for the effort, you know. And maybe that's
yeah. Like they're not posting up Lowry the way that they're posting up Gabe. Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. But he's
that's
better.
Fair.
But whatever. Like it does. Like he's making shots and Lowry's not. That so is. Even that. Like I think if it were just on merit, Gabe should start. Okay. Like, period. End of story. It's not happening. We could have the conversation, but I don't really see the point because it's just not going to happen.
We point to our conversation following game two where it was clear that they weren't going to Bam, that they didn't have anybody to make those entry passes. And, you know, whether Bam's been looking off or he hasn't been as aggressive as you'd like, whatever, the reality is that Kyle is still the best playmaker on the floor, even on half a leg or whatever. He's still better as a playmaker at this point in his career than Gabe Vincent is. That doesn't mean that Gabe can't get there eventually, but right now that's still the case. So I don't know. I don't think he starts. I know a lot of people are clamoring for that. You know, the reality is Derek White's a pretty good backup too, so you'd like to be able to control that matchup to some degree. White was, at some points, he was their best player. He was like their most active player, scoring, 11 points in the first half? Like he was really aggressive. Yeah. When Marcus Smart was in foul trouble, they put White in. They didn't miss a beat. Again, this is part of the problem with Boston's depth is that they're very good defensively. You mentioned Grant Williams. You know, Derek White comes in there. They're all good defenders. They're not missing.
I have another curveball for you.
For the Miami Heat to throw? Okay, let's hear
it. Yeah. They're not guarding P.J. Tucker in the corner. I actually thought P.J. had a nice game tonight.
Yeah.
But they're not guarding P.J. Tucker in the corner. And that is why Robert Williams is able to just sag off of him and block off the paint. If the goal is to get Bam and, I guess, Jimmy going, what if you start Duncan and Max?
I'm fine with that.
What if you do, at this point, Kyle, Max, Duncan, Jimmy at the nominal 4, and Bam.
Yep.
I mean, you could start that way. That might be the curveball. And look, you're at the point now, one more loss, your season's over. Why not? Why not go that way? All of a sudden now, if you're Robert Williams, I mean, you can ignore those guys. I mean, maybe you put Robert Williams on Kyle Lowry.
Right? They take Robert Williams off the floor and put Grant Williams, who's more adept at staying with Duncan.
Sure, I guess. Yeah, but at least either way, you got Robert Williams out of the paint, which has
been
Miami's biggest problem. So, you know, maybe that's something that they can do. I'm just going to throw that out there. You know what? That's my prediction. How about that, David? Let's end this show on a prediction. That's your starting lineup in Game 6 in Boston.
Either way, despite everything, and look, there's a positivity that I think they can steal Game 6. There also does feel like an inevitability to it all, like, The way they've looked over the last two games, following that big Game 3 win where they looked so dominant in that first quarter, they were able to hold on even after Jimmy set out the half. You were optimistic they would bounce back. That hasn't been the case. They looked bad in Game 4. They looked really bad in Game 4. They looked terrible in Game 5 as well. That they did enough, that they had enough effort, that they got enough active rebounding and some spark from Gabe and Caleb and others. There still seems to be this kind of inevitability to it all. And you wonder how much Miami has left of the tank.
Feels like they've reached their limit.
Yeah, you recall. Look, it's been a long season. It's tiring.
Yeah.
You're hurt. You know that you're playing for something bigger, and at the same time, when you don't have it, it's just tough to find those reserves that you've emptied out for the last several months to get to this point. And you kind of recall what happened last year against the Bucks, where you're kind of saying, oh, can you steal one game in that playoff series? Can you get it close? And it's been tiring from the Orlando bubble to the ordeal of last year to the long regular season this season. Yeah. Everything catches up to you. I just don't know how much energy they have left. But, again, I'll try and stay optimistic if that can do that. I said Heat in seven. I'm going to stick to Heat in seven. We'll see what happens. At this point, I'm just glad it's not Boston in five, you know, which a lot of people expected it to be. So Heat in seven, we'll see what happens.
I think there is a certain – look, it's over, okay? I'm going to try to spin that even. I'm going to try to spin that positive, all right? There's a certain dignity to admitting when you've got nothing left. There's a dignity to looking across the court, looking at even the Boston Celtics, who's the last team Heat fans want to do this for, and be like, you know what? You're the better team. I don't think that the Heat, they're not going to lose the series because of a lack of effort or a lack of want to or a lack of basketball IQ or even a lack of talent. I truly believe that. They're going to lose the series because they got nothing left. They're going to lose the series because their best player is playing at 20%. I mean, 20%. That's not even hyperbole at this point. They're going to lose the series because of that, but not because of a lack of effort or a lack of smarts or a lack of talent or a lack of want-to. They're not being out-coached. This is just what Spoelstra is working with what he's got, and he's cobbling together everything he can, and the rest of, and the entire team is, okay? And I think there's a certain dignity just looking across the court and saying, you know what? You outlasted us in this season and then in this series. Good luck in the finals.
Let's hope it doesn't get to that point. I'll stick to that. Anyway, thanks so much for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On NBA. From the first jump ball of the play-in tournament to the last possession of the finals, Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. This is David Ramil signing off optimistically for now. Thanks so much for joining me, Wes.
Wrap it up, B.
That's up to Heat, though.